first reading comes to us from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Our second reading comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, in the words of that song, open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see you. Oh God, clear our minds of the fog, all the distractions, all of our wants and our desires for ourselves and for the world, and help us to clearly see and hear you, your heart speaking to our hearts. God, my words are not perfect, but you are perfect. Your word is perfect. And so I ask that you, in this moment, would use me, as imperfect as I am, to convey your message to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I first started wearing glasses when I was, I think, like 19 or 20 years old. I was not long into college. From then until more recently, I only needed my glasses for driving at night or for things super far away that I needed to see in great detail. During the time of daylight savings time, my glasses scarcely left the case. About 4 or 5 years ago, I started having this dilemma during worship. Do I choose to be able to see the people in the very back pews clearly, the details of their faces? Or do I choose to see the words in the page of the bulletin in my sermon notes? But a year or so ago, I started having to wear my glasses virtually all the time in order to be able to see anything more than 2 feet past the end of my nose with any sort of detail. This has been quite an adjustment for me, as I know it probably is for many others like me who have experienced this, to in such a short span of time go from being able to see pretty much without assistance to needing glasses all the time. I often walk around my home without my glasses on out of habit. I put them on for something a good distance away, only to realize that there were things quite close to me that I wasn't seeing as clearly as I thought I was. I could see, but there were important details that I was missing. I wonder if perhaps this is, in some small way, a bit like what the Jews gathered at the temple might have been experiencing that day as they arrived to make their sacrifices before the Passover. Our gospel reading tells us that Jesus goes to Jerusalem just before the Passover of the Jews. He enters the temple courts and finds people selling cattle and sheep and doves and money changers seated at their tables. Just before Passover, each Jewish family or society is to bring a young lamb from their home to be sacrificed on the altar, and parts of it will be enjoyed on the night of Passover, which commemorates the exodus of the Israelites from Egyptian slavery, when God passed over their houses during the last of the 10 plagues. Said lamb could not and cannot be a runt, something easily sacrificed. It has to be a male lamb without blemish, something of worth, something that costs. Moreover, it isn't just the lamb's life that is to be lost. The lamb represents the sacrifice of the people making the offering. From the monetary sacrifice of losing the lamb to the arduous journey to take that lamb from the ends of the kingdom all the way to the temple in Jerusalem. To offer a lamb on the altar in Jerusalem means the sacrificing of a life, but it also means giving up something perfect for the sins of those making the offering, so that God might be glorified and the people might be justified in the eyes of God. Knowing all of this, Jesus grows angry at the sight of the animals being sold and money being changed within the temple. Animals were for sale there in the temple in order to save the Jewish people the struggle of bringing an animal all the way from home and sacrificing something they already have in their possession. The money changers were there to change the people's money from Roman currency to the temple's currency. Of course, animals and money exchange was provided for a fee, allowing these business owners the opportunity to profit from the sacrifice. Jesus sees all of this and sees something that is supposed to be a holy act. and it's being defiled. He sees the temple being defiled. Jesus forms a whip and drives out the sheep and cattle. He overturns the money changers' table. He pours out their coins on the ground. He tells those selling doves, take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace. The Jews gathered in the temple witnessed Jesus behaving this way, doing these things, and they want him to explain himself. In studying this passage, I'm struck by this interaction between Jesus and the Jews, how differently they see this turn of events. God gave the Israelites the commandments through Moses on Mount Sinai, of which you heard the first 10 read just a few moments ago. But there are hundreds more. They aren't designed to make the Israelites' lives more difficult. They are merely to appease and amuse God. They exist to provide the Israelites a roadmap as to how to remain faithful to God and to one another. And though the law is of the utmost importance to the Jewish people, they, in the law, like so many other things, the law can become merely a thing that you do because you're supposed to do it, while the why of the law is forgotten. And in so doing, the law itself, the purpose of it, is not fulfilled. The Jewish people see Jesus cleansing the temple and they do not understand. They see a crazy rabbi disrupting the fulfillment of the law, the offering of the Paschal lamb, the offering of livestock at the temple, the money changers. It's all to make the sacrifice easier for the Jewish people, easier for the people to be faithful to God and support the local business owners in the process. It's there to help them fulfill the law as they see it. Everyone gets what they need. The people get what they need to make the sacrifice, the businessmen gain income, and God gets justice. But Jesus sees all of this as the corruption of this holy act of sacrifice. The Jewish people see, but they can't see. They see things from their own perspective, but they cannot see them from God's. They see the sacrifice of the Passover lamb disrupted, but they can't see the Lamb of God standing there in front of them explaining that because the people cannot make a perfect sacrifice, God will do it for them in offering his son on the cross once and for all of the sins of the whole world. We read the Gospels and on further through into the New Testament of the Bible, and we can be quick to judge the Jews, the religious leaders. How can they not see God manifest right in front of them? How could they not understand the significance of the events that they are witnessing? How can they not see? But we're just like them. They represent not just a particular sect of people, they represent all of us. We look at the world and the way in which we interact with it, and we think ourselves righteous. I didn't realize until I was firmly into my adulthood how rare it is for people to admit that someone of a different perspective could be right, at least in part. How rare it is that we are willing to admit when we are wrong and to apologize and seek forgiveness. How often we come up with rationalizations for our behavior because we see, but we cannot see that there are some things that are a bit blurry in our field of vision. We see in part, we do not see fully. Looking again at the state of the world today, you hear the debate over whether or not politics should be discussed within the church, but everything has been made political, seemingly. It's impossible to avoid all the landmines, even if one wanted to. We're at each other's throats. If you don't agree with me in everything about how I experience and view the world, you're wrong. You're ignorant. You're morally corrupt. In an effort to be right, we are hateful towards one another. In an effort to get everything right, we get everything wrong, because what we're supposed to do above all else is love God and love neighbor. How different the world would be if we would all, myself included, operate with just an ounce more humility. Recognizing that we aren't always righteous, no matter how hard we might try to be. Recognizing that even when we think ourselves seeing pretty clearly, we still have our blind spots. We see, but only in part. We aren't perfect. And we shouldn't behave as if we are in our interactions with one another. We should interact with the world always remembering that we need to be saved from ourselves. We need a Savior. Jesus answers, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The people didn't understand. They didn't understand why he cleansed the temple. They could not see what God sees so clearly. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And they did not understand who Jesus is. And they killed him for it. The Son of God. Friends, may we go forth from this moment and this time together, hoping not just to see more clearly the righteous path, but to operate with humility as people who recognize that we need a Savior for all those moments when we can't even see our unholiness. Amen.